Us and that will be when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Amen. Amen. And good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing?
Good.
That sounds kind of sad there. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is God good?
Yes.
Do you love God? Sing it with, sing a verse with me. I really love the Lord. Oh, yes. I really love the Lord. Oh, yes. And you don't. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes. He gave me the victory. And that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love the Lord. Amen, amen. That feels a little better. We want to welcome you, especially if you are a guest, a visitor, to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ worship service, whether you're here live or whether you're watching through our virtual worship service this morning. Whether you're in the city of Houston, out of state, out of the country. We have worshipers who worship us in Japan and Australia and Africa. And let the church say, welcome.
Welcome.
Yes, yes, God is good. We're making the best out of this. And look like we might be doing it for a minute more. As I know I got several calls this week from members who have are sick with COVID. Their family members are sick with COVID. And so you keep your mask on.
Amen.
While you're in here.
Amen.
Is that all right?
All right.
While I smile. I know I don't have mine on right now, but we let's be as safe as we can.
Amen.
We trust God, amen.
Amen.
It's not that we don't trust God, but God got a little. While we're still here, God got something for us to do.
Right.
There's still a lot of lost folks that need to be saved.
Amen.
Several have typed in, sent in prayer requests, and I want to be mindful, but Barry, make sure we adhere to all of the prayer requests. We ask you. You can go online to our. I can't remember where it is now. Prayer and confession cards to send in prayer requests. And so many of you have responded to that, and we want to be mindful of that. Brother Craig, was it Brother who read the scripture this morning?
Craig.
Brother Craig read the scripture this morning, and Paul told Timothy, he said, until I come, give attention to the public reading, to exhortation, which is encouragement, admonishment, and to doctrine or teaching.
Amen.
And I want to take this month. This month of August has five Sundays in it. And here is August the 1st. Can you believe it's August the 1st, 2021? Some of you, I still haven't seen yet this year just because I didn't know who you were, you know, and with the mask on. But that's okay. We still are fellowshipping and loving on each other.
Amen.
And so this month, I want to give some special attention. I've entitled this, all of this month, Excerpts to the Church. Excerpts to the Church. And I'm reading certain passages and trying to exegete these passages and teach and exhort and encourage one another through the Word of God. That's what you came here for, is to worship God, right?
Amen.
And to hear from God. And that's what we intend to try to do all this month. So I mentioned that for you to study with us as we go along in this study this month. Turn, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we begin at verse 1. I'm still for those of you, I'm not being lazy by sitting down. I'm going through some procedures trying to avoid hip surgery. And so I don't want you to think I'm being lazy or being cute up here sitting in a chair. 1 Thessalonians 1 and the verses 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you. This particular letter through the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul writes to the church. You know, if you study in the Bible if you disregard the value of the church, you know, you read in the Bible, it's hard to do that. The church is vital. The New Testament, especially, the church is vital to God's plan.
Amen.
Now, I know you're here and you recognize that. But so many have tried to diminish the value of church, of the ecclesia, of the assembly. And we've been challenged this year in that we've had to change the way we assemble. But even those who are watching right now, if their hearts, not this heart, if their mind, the Bible says God is spirit.
Amen.
You can't see God with your naked eye.
Right.
But we connect with God through our spirit.
Amen.
You can close your eyes while you're in worship service right now and not open them again and not see anybody, but you can still worship God.
Amen.
And I don't want to put that on your hearts because some people are struggling with this, and because you can actually come in this building and still not worship God.
Amen.
But the church is vital to God's plan.
Amen.
And I'm glad you chose to be a part of it. If you're not into the church, if you haven't been baptized into Christ, you still are not a part of his church.
Amen.
Because the only way you can be a member of the body of Christ is to obey the gospel.
Amen.
And the final step that gets us into Christ is baptism. It's not the only step, but it's the final step that gets us into. After you are baptized, God adds you to his church, Acts 2:47. And so this letter is written, primarily most of the New Testament is written to the church.
Amen.
It's written to folk who are already Christian.
Amen.
And he writes it to the church, and it gives just all kinds of instruction. And see, this is the church at Thessalonica, but listen to verse number 7 first. This is a technical kind of lesson, so you got to stay awake, all right?
Amen.
1 Thessalonians 1:7, go to 1:7, so that you became an example of all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And this is just to point out the fact that not only is this written to the church of Thessalonica, it's written to the Field Water Church of Christ.
Amen.
It's really written to all churches who would obey the word of God. It says in Macedonia and Achaia, it says, but not only them, but in every place, the news of your faith toward God has gone out so that we have no need to say anything. And so he writes this letter to Thessalonica. He writes it to those in Macedonia at the time, to Achaia, to all who would claim that they are members of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And then he goes on to 1 Thessalonians 2:14. Well, I'm jumping around a little bit. 2:14. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you also endured the same sufferings at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews. And notice, just interesting. You know, when you read the Bible, the New Testament, it writes to the church. Interesting how it identifies the church to the church of Thessalonica, the Thessalonica being the location here in 1 Thessalonians 2:14. You became imitators of the churches of God. So Thessalonica was not the only church of the churches of God. Notice, in Christ Jesus. Still God, Christ Jesus. Romans 16:16, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Galatians 1:22, I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea, which are in Christ. Why are you reading all that, Brother Gary? I just want to we teaching and just want to us to understand why we identify ourselves as the church of Christ.
Amen.
The church that belongs to Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, no need in making any additions and saying,
right.
You know, it's not the church of a mountain, you know. Surely not the church of a person, right?
No.
Who we talking about? God's church, right?
Amen.
And so the Bible. This is Bible teaching. If you love Bible teaching, that's what you're gonna get.
Bible
is
right.
And I know, but there's all kind of churches. I understand that,
Bible
but
is right.
But remember, Paul told Timothy, Timothy, I want you to give your attention to the public reading of the Word.
Amen.
See, because I want all my people to be on the same. I want them to all hear the same thing. He said, to exhortation, you encourage them, and then you teach them the doctrine.
Amen.
Teach them what I want them to know and learn. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:17. Paul, 1 Corinthians 4:17. For this reason, I've sent you Timothy. Timothy was a young, fairly young preacher at the time, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. And he will remind you of all of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church.
That's
it. That's so. It was and still is God's intention.
Amen.
That every church teach the same thing. Oh, no, that's not going to happen. I didn't say it was going to happen. But that's God's intention. Amen.
Amen.
Can I ask a question? Does everybody in here want to be pleasing to God?
Amen.
I thought so. I thought that's me. That's how I am. That's where I stand.
Amen.
You know, I don't argue with folks. I don't argue with folks about the Bible. I have had some arguments about the Bible. Now I will defend
the God.
If somebody's teaching something that's a awry, especially if it's somebody else is wrong, I'm gonna put my two cents in.
Amen.
Then with the scripture.
Amen.
So I just wanna we want an educated church.
Amen.
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 Folks who not just believe in hook, line, and sinker just because. A bald head man is up there saying something.
Yeah.
We want to read it from the scripture.
Amen.
So you can defend it also when you're with your friends, when you're in the barbershop. Somebody comes, man, look at, I just believe. And then we can say, well, let's see what the Bible say about that.
Amen.
Okay. And so Paul, the Holy Spirit God, he writes this letter to the church. And then this is some of the instructions he gives to them in 1 Thessalonians 5. And I'm jumping down 1 Thessalonians 5:1. This is close to the end of his letter. And then he says, now as to periods and times, brothers and sisters, you have no need of anything to be written to you. It's like he'd already told them something about this period. That's pertaining to Christ's return. Everybody want to know when Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
When is Jesus coming? A lot of people have made predictions about when Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
But isn't it interesting that the Bible does not tell us when Jesus is coming?
Amen.
And Paul, he said even back then, he says, why are you worried about? I don't need to write to you about this. Now, if you read chapter 4, you see that he says to the Thessalonians, he says, don't grieve like the rest of the folks. And he was giving them some hope, teaching them about death, about life. He says, I don't have any need to write to you about the two times. He said this, it says it twice in this particular letter. In the letter, 1 Thessalonians, he says this. He says, I don't have any need to write to you about the periods and times. He said, for you yourselves know well that the day of the Lord is coming just like a thief in the night.
Amen.
He said, now, we don't know when Jesus is coming, but he's going to come like a thief in the night. How does a thief come when you don't think he's coming? Jesus said that himself. If you want to look at it in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, also Matthew chapter 24, verse 44, Jesus says, I don't even know when I'm coming. Only the Father knows. Then it says, when he comes, he's going to come at a time when you think not. We're not going to, you know, the Bible says folks going to be getting married, be given in marriage. You might be eating at the table. You might be at the club.
Yeah.
You might be at somebody's house you had no business being.
Amen. Amen.
We don't know when Jesus is coming. Amen.
Amen.
It says at a time when I don't think he's coming.
That's right.
Could he come in the next 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go, Brother Gary. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he says, you already know the scripture. Jesus said it when he was here.
That's true.
And so, you know, maybe we shouldn't be harping on things. What we maybe need to be concentrating on is being ready when he comes.
Amen.
That's the focus. And he says that over and over again. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. Now, that was chapter 5. Now, I'm jumping back to chapter 4. Because there's one other thing that he said that I don't need to write to you about. He says it now, verse 9. Now, as to the love of the brothers and sisters, you have no need for anyone to write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one. Now, two things. He says, now, it appears in time that Jesus comes. That's not my business. That's not your business. That's God's business.
Amen.
He says another thing, too, about love. You know you show both. Now, he's writing to the church. He says, about love, I don't need to write to you about that. You know about love because God is love.
Amen.
All of us should know the passage, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Yeah.
He says, you know, I don't know if the Holy Spirit or Paul was being a little bit sarcastic. Because I could say that to this audience in here this morning is, do I need to preach a sermon on love?
Yeah.
Do I need to talk to the saints about loving one another?
Yeah.
See, you know what's going to keep a lot of, probably nobody in here. But I got a sneaky suspicion that folks not knowing how to love are going to keep a whole lot of folk out of heaven.
Amen. Amen.
And if it wouldn't hurt your feelings, I would say somebody in here. One thing I'm learning as I get older, well, I've been in the church most of my life, And I'm not perfect. I know there's some things I need to check. I know there's some things that I need to calm my nerves about and not get so upset about. I know that. But I do know also this, that I see too much in the church.
Kind of like it is.
Folk who don't know how to love.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about just saying it and singing it.
Yeah.
And Paul, he writes this to the church. He says, verse 10, for indeed you practice it toward all the brothers and sisters who are in Macedonia. He says, I don't need to write to you about love. You already showing love. And that's what I would say. I got the negative out the way first. Is that I believe, and I'm a little biased, that this is a loving church.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. And that means that's us. That's you.
Amen.
You know, I know. You know, we hug. We not hugging right now. But you know, y'all church. You know what's been outpouring. And I wish you could hear it from people. I know sometimes the leaders only, the elders are only the one. We've had so many deaths. I know we've always had deaths,
right.
But don't it seem like we're having more?
Yeah.
Oh, every week. But you know what I love is your outpouring of love.
Amen.
For our members.
Amen.
And if you're in here, it haven't happened in your family lately, just say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm not talking about public stuff. I'm just talking about little stuff that people do. You know, you go to the wakes, you go to the funerals, you send cards, you send money, you send flowers, you send food, you call, and now thank the Lord for these phones. You text. Well, our text can be very powerful.
Amen.
Thinking about you. Love Amen. You. Got a text. Just two words. With you. One word. Praying. Two words got your back. Three words got your back. Now, and keep doing that. Don't take that for granted. That's mighty powerful. And obviously, the church of Thessalonica was doing it because Paul commended him. He says, you're doing it. But this is what he says, though, at the end of it. He says this. He said, isn't the Bible beautiful? Isn't it beautiful, the words? He says, but we urge you. I'm in verse 10, chapter 4. We urge you, brothers and sisters, to excel even more. Yeah, don't stop. We have several who place membership here at the Fieldwater Church of Christ. Hey, listen, we family now. You are our family.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, it don't matter if you haven't been here but a minute. It don't matter, does it, church?
Amen.
Yeah, we don't have special seats in here, do we, church?
No.
Special places, don't sit here. And now, if you don't get here early, you're not going to get that seat, though. Yeah, we family. Listen, a lot of people are yearning for this fellowship.
Amen.
Lots of folk. And you tell you what, you can't. You cannot. You're not going to run this Christian race by yourself.
Amen.
Don't even try to do it.
Amen.
But I tell you what, it don't take but one little bad apple to mess up a whole lot of good stuff.
That's right.
Somebody coming in with an attitude, leave your attitudes.
Right.
Leave your attitude. Get rid of your attitude. Amen. You know, if I asked everybody here, oh, did you have a bad day yesterday? Half the people probably raised their eye, I had a bad day. Well, it's yesterday.
Yeah.
No need making it 2 days in a row, right?
That's right.
I understand this. I understand when I was preparing some of these lessons, I was reading something. This was speaking to me. And I see Paul says, look, Timothy, he says, I want you to give your attention. Read the word to people. Read the word to all the saints. They need to know these words come from God. And it's like God knows what we need when we need it. And this is a time we need to be loving on each other. You be loving on each other, you know, instead of staying out, using all this time, you know, looking up our Facebook pages, and I mean, that's okay, but you know, minister. He says, I urge you to please continue doing it. Drop down to verse 3. First Thessalonians 5 and 3. So he writes to the church. He says, don't worry about when Jesus is coming again. You don't worry about that Jesus is coming again. He says, he's going to come like a thief in the night. He says, while they are saying peace and safety, he uses this term. While they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them like labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they will not escape. Now, he writes this letter to the church. Identifies the Christians, and then he identifies the they. He says, now, this is not us, this is them. He said, they say in peace and safety. And he says, in verse 4, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness.
Amen.
So that the day would overtake you like a thief.
Amen.
He says to the Christians, distinguish yourselves from the day.
Amen.
And he gives us, and notice this, he says, read the scriptures. I want you to exhort. I want you to teach. He says, now, we are not the they. He says, we are not to look at life like the they. He goes on, he says that, for you are all sons of light. Everybody say light. And sons of day. Now see, you know, Jesus, when he was on earth, he said, work while it's day. Night, there's coming a time when nobody can work. And he associates the day with the time that we get things done, that you alert, you taking care of business. He says he wants us to be children of light.
Amen.
Notice this. even when the night comes, he still wants us to be children of light.
Amen. Amen.
Let me show you what this means. He says, we are not of night nor of darkness, so then let's not sleep as others do, but let's be alert and sober.
Amen.
Boy, that's some words there.
Amen.
See, listen. Now, I knew what it meant, but I wanted to get the reading definition. The word sober, it means free from intoxicating influences. It also means to be calm and collected, to have good sense, to have good judgment, to be wise, to be level-headed in times of stress. We're talking about being sober.
Amen.
Got all your senses.
Amen.
At all times.
Amen.
You ever seen a, well, you ever seen a drunk person sleep?
Yeah.
See, when a drunk person is knocked out, they are cold.
Yeah.
Everything be going on around. They haven't heard nothing.
Yeah.
Some of y'all kind of look like you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Even, he says for the Christian, be aware of what's going on. It's almost like he's saying, now we're not to worry about, we're not to be anxious. The scripture says, be anxious, casting all our cares on him, for he cares for us. Not to be anxious about anything, but we are to be alert.
Amen.
We know when something don't look right.
Right.
It don't sound right.
Right.
It's not right. And it's don't be so gullible. He says, be alert.
Amen.
And be sober. Listen to verse 7. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we are the day, let's be, everybody say, sober.
Amen.
I know, you know, they probably will be legalizing marijuana in the state of Texas pretty soon. You do know that, don't you? Yeah, some of you know it already, huh? 19 states, I think right now, even recreational marijuana is legal.
Yeah.
In many more states, medical. Man, I know the medicinal advances and of medical marijuana, and I'm not. I know plants are used for medication, and I'm not knocking against, you know, using it for a purpose that's going to help somebody heal. And so, and I'm not a medical doctor, but some of our minds don't need nothing messing with.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Are you all the argument? Oh, my brother, is, you know, marijuana just clear you up, you know.
Well,
you tell that to somebody else.
Amen.
How you know, Brother Gary, don't worry about it? No, I'm just reading what the word says.
Amen.
Is for us, you know, people say that about alcohol.
That's right.
You know, Jesus turned water to wine. He did. I'm not knocking that. But be alert.
Amen.
Nobody in here, but many young ladies have gotten pregnant while they were.
Amen. Amen.
Under the influence.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm not just talking about the young ladies. Many young men.
Amen.
Have done some things they would not normally have done. While they were under the, and I'm just reading publicly the word of God to God's people and saying, don't be like they.
Amen.
They say peace is out. Ain't nothing wrong. Everything all right.
Amen. Amen.
I'm just reading the word.
Amen.
And I'm reading God's word, and he said, let's be sober.
That Bible. I know that Bible.
Having put on the breastplate of faith and love and a hell and as a helmet the hope of salvation.
Amen.
Jesus put it this way in Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Jesus put it this way. He says, but be on your guard so that you, notice this, so that your hearts, not this heart, will not be weighed down with dissipation. You know what that word dissipation means? Dissipation is the squandering of money, the squandering of our energy, and the squandering of our resources. Dissipation is like, you know, when you know you just get just you just feel free and you just do anything.
That's right.
And Jesus says, be on your guard and get Gary, don't get weighed up. He says, so that your heart, your mind will not be weighed down with dissipation. You ever seen somebody that seems like something has taken all of the drive out of them?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You they won't work. You can't get them to do nothing. They got an answer for everything, a crazy answer for everything.
Right.
And not doing nothing. Because why, Brother Gary? Because I'm just chilling right now. This is Jesus. He says, dissipation and drunkenness.
That's Bible.
Stay drunk.
Yeah.
And I know. This is touching, because this stuff is powerful. Boy, there's a hold on so many in our society, and it just has taken all of them. And that's why Jesus said, "Be on guard, young people. See, old drunk started when they were young."
That's right. That's true. Amen.
You say, man, that old man, all he do is drink. But it was some guys when I was in school, when I was in high school. No, I take that back. When I was in junior high, I remember it was always somebody who would sneak in to drink.
Yeah, that's true.
Did y'all have some other people like that in y'all school?
Yeah, I did.
They sneak in to drink or they sneak in to smoke. Or gamble or whatever, you know. And I thank the Lord. I know I'm not saying we know better than anybody else. But, you know, they let them, and when they get a little bit older, they look old and dried up. And what happened? I'll tell you what happened. They started young with dissipation, wasting hours, days go by. And they, what you doing today? Nothing. He says, well, I need to stop. He says, and drunkenness and the worries of life.
That's it.
He said, be on guard.
Amen.
Then the Holy Spirit, Jesus said it. The Holy Spirit told Paul, tell my people to be sober. Don't be under the influence of nothing. They need all their brains to hear and understand this.
Amen.
Keep them out of trouble. Keep them focused.
Amen.
Keep them on the goal that we're trying to make it to heaven. Don't need nothing sidetracking. They don't need nothing messing with their heads. And don't need nothing putting you in depression. You know, all this stuff. That's why you just, look, I just need to take a drink. I need to forget about all this stuff. And all we're doing is digging a deeper hole.
Amen.
He says, therefore, encourage one another. I'm in First Thessalonians, back in First Thessalonians. Let me read this so I can, next Lord's Day, Lord says the same, I can give you another excerpt. He said, for God has not destined us for wrath. This is verse 9. Notice, the word exhorts us, it encourages us. It teaches us and warns us. He says, God, you, Now, that they think there's peace and safety when there's not.
Yeah.
But to the saints, to the children of God, you're the children of light. God has not destined you for wrath,
right,
but for obtaining salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep. Notice this. The Christian, now he's talking about awake, whether we are alive or asleep or we're dead. Not talking about drunk. Or we die. He says, we will live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing.
Amen.
Encourage the church.
Amen.
We're in a fight. We're in a race.
Amen.
We're in a battle.
Amen.
And we need each other.
Sure do.
We got to encourage each other.
Sure.
We got to stay faithful.
That's it.
Can't turn to the world.
That's right.
For this kind of peace.
That's right.
Excerpts to the church. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, my goodness, you close. Because you close because you're here.
Amen.
Physically, are you watching?
Yeah.
And some of you have been watching. I know, because you tell me sometimes, or you tell somebody else, say, man, I've been worshiping. So what? Come on.
Yeah.
Don't stay on the fringes. No benefits out there.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, so what I need to do, Brother Gary, you close. See, you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It starts, you know, you've heard the word this morning. You've heard a portion of the gospel. What's the gospel? It's the good news. Jesus makes a difference in all of our lives.
Amen.
Because he's made it possible for us to get back to stay out of the wrath of God, to get back to God in peace.
Amen.
He died for our sins and all of sin and fallen short of the glory of God.
That's
you got to get your sins forgiven before you get be in peace with God.
Amen.
You believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ died for all of your sins? Are you when you repent of all of your sins, change your mind about sin, want a different life? No, it's sin to get drunk.
Amen.
I mean, just say it plainly. The scripture calls it sin. And the scripture also says, such were some of you. Well, don't think that, well, I don't want to come to that. Y'all got all them holy people. You don't know who in here.
Amen. Amen.
Do some of us need to testify? Where we came from? You got it. You got that all wrong, brother, sister. No. We got all kinds. We have all kinds.
That's right. Amen.
And so you'll be right at home. You'll be right at home. You're willing to confess with your mouth the sweetest name you could ever. It's by Jesus. I got to tell you, nobody else. We don't get no Muhammad. We don't get no man, no pastor, nobody. Jesus gets all the glory.
Amen.
That's why this church is called the Church of Christ. The church that belongs to Christ. All the churches in the Bible gave God and Jesus Christ all the glory. Never a tree, never a mountain, surely not a person.
Amen.
And if you complete your obedience by being baptized in water, for the remission of your sins.
Amen.
God puts you into Christ.
Amen.
And God puts you into his church, Acts 2:47. And so you can be baptized and added to this local body. Even if you are out of town right now, you watching right now, and you're out of town and you want to be baptized, then call a number on your screen. Brother, show it if it's not on this one, show it on the screen. Call a number on your screen, 713-672-2654, or email us, and I promise you we'll make it happen.
Amen.
We got some brothers in here. We got some sisters that'll make it happen.
Amen.
And if you want to be baptized,
amen.
If you're in here today, won't you come?
Amen.
If you have a prayer request, you can go online under our quick links. And if you have a prayer request, you can type your prayer request in. It goes straight to our elders. They will respond. They responded to many this past week. They will respond to your prayer request. We have special prayer requests. I know Sister Debbie Jordan texted me this morning. Please pray for her. Sister Jennifer, who's been in the hospital, I know, 9 months. And she needs desperate prayer. Pray for her Jennifer's son, Denzel. Pray for others who have prayed. I just can't remember somebody else sent me. Tina Samuel and Brother Barrow. Now, anybody has a prayer request. If you want to be baptized, come right now as we stand and sing the song.
Somebody's knocking at your door. Somebody.